Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites Uncle John's Bathroom Reader and ChartCons.com. Question number one, what was the musical instrument for which Tchaikovsky originally wrote Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies, which appeared in his The Nutcracker? Hint, historians attributed lead in the instrument as the probable cause of symptoms that musicians complained about after playing this instrument. So what was that instrument anyway? Was it A, the French horn, B, the harmonica, C, the harp, or D, the cymbal? An instrument with potentially serious medical side effects? Question number two, what was the name of the record label that the Beatles established? Hint, it is a multi-armed, multimedia corporation founded in London in January 1968 by the Beatles to replace their earlier company, Beatles LTD. So what was the new name created as a pun? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of September the 3rd. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1735, that composer Johann Christian Bach was born. Johann Christian Bach was a German composer of the classical era, the 18th child of Johann Sebastian Bach and the youngest of his 11 sons. After a spell in Italy, Bach moved to London in 1762, where he became known as the London Bach. And it was 30 years ago today, 1991, that Dottie West died at the age of 58. She died from injuries incurred in a car accident several days earlier. West was the first female country Grammy winner. The Everly Brothers' Bye Bye Love introduces our country music news. It's an obit. Don Everly, half of the quintessential harmonic duo, the Everly Brothers, dies at 84. This is written by David Mistich, published in the NPR.org on the 22nd of August, 2021. Don Everly, half of one of rock and roll's pioneering groups, the Everly Brothers, has died. The musician known for singing close harmonies with his brother was 84. With hits like All I Have to Do Is Dream, Wake Up, Little Susie, and Kathy's Clown, the Everly Brothers were a sensation in the late 1950s and early 60s as rock and roll became a cultural phenomenon. But it was their version of Bye Bye Love, the song playing in the background now, back in 1957, that launched them to number two on the U.S. Billboard pop charts. Everly's country-influenced vocals sung alongside his younger brother Phil, stretched the possibilities of harmonies in early rock and roll. No cause of death was immediately given. The duo, Ray's playing in the family band, moved to Nashville in 1955. After some initial success writing songs for country star Roy Acuff's publishing company, Acuff Rose, the brothers recorded a single for Columbia. The group went on to influence other vocal harmony-driven duos such as Simon and Garfunkel, whose earliest work closely mimicked the Everly Brothers' iconic sound. Following decades and a string of hits together, tensions mounted between the Everly Brothers, resulting in an infamous onstage blow-up on July 14, 1973, when Phil smashed a guitar and left Don to finish the show by himself. Don told Rolling Stone in 1986 that it was one of the saddest days of his life. With the help of British guitarist Albert Lee, the siblings reunited for a London concert that was filmed in 1983. The duo continued to stay active until 2006. The Everly Brothers were among the first class of inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1986. Phil Everly died in 2014. John Williams' Schindler's List introduces our classical music news. John Williams, American composer and conductor. This is written by Allison Eldridge in Britannica Encyclopedia, August 2021. John Williams, born February 8, 1932 in Queens, New York, is an American composer who created some of the most iconic film scores of all time. He scored more than 100 films, many of which were directed by Steven Spielberg. Williams was raised in New York, the son of a percussionist in the CBS Radio Orchestra. He was exposed to music from a young age and began studying piano as a child, later learning trumpet, trombone, and clarinet. He started writing music early, trying to orchestrate his own pieces as a teen. In 1948, Williams moved to Los Angeles with his family, where he studied composition privately and also briefly at UCLA. In 1951, he was drafted into the U.S. Air Force, and during his service, he arranged band music and began conducting. After leaving the Air Force, Williams briefly studied piano at the Juilliard School of Music and worked as a jazz pianist in New York City. He later returned to California, where he worked as a Hollywood studio pianist for such films as Some Like It Hot, West Side Story, and To Kill a Mockingbird. During that time, he also began composing for television, writing songs for such shows as Wagon Train and Gilligan's Island. In the early 1970s, Williams made a name for himself as a composer for big-budget disaster films, including The Poseidon Adventure. And Spielberg, then an aspiring director, asked Williams to score his first feature, The Sugarland Express, in 1974. Thus began a decades-long partnership between the two, with Williams scoring some of Spielberg's best-known films, including Jaws, 1975, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 1977, and E.T., 1982. The rollicking Indiana Jones series from 1981 through 2008, Jurassic Park in 1993 and its sequel, The Lost World in 1997. Holocaust biopic, Schindler's List, 1993. Saving Private Ryan, 1998. And the biopic, Lincoln, 2012. Throughout his extensive career, Williams created some of the most memorable music in movie history, including the scores and iconic theme songs for 9 of the Star Wars films, 3 Harry Potter films. He was known especially for his lush symphonic style, which helped bring symphonic film scores back into vogue after synthesizers had started to become the norm. Williams has won 3 Emmy Awards, more than 20 Grammys, and 5 Academy Awards, including Schindler's List in 1993. Honky Tonk Women by the Rolling Stones with Charlie Watts on drums introduces our jazz, blues, and rock music news. It's an obit. Charlie Watts, Rolling Stones drummer, dies at 80. This is written by Chris Morris and Jem Aswad in Variety.com on the 24th of August, 2021. Drummer Charlie Watts, whose adept, powerful skin work propelled the Rolling Stones for more than half a century, died in London on Tuesday morning. No cause of death was cited. A 2012 review of a Rolling Stones concert reads in part, "For all of Mick and Keith's supremacy, there's no question that the heart of this band is and will always be Watts. His whip-cracked snare and remarkable sense of swing drive the songs with peerless authority and define the contradictory, uptight laid-backness that's at the heart of Stones' rhythm." Watts performed until he was 78. His last concert with the group took place in Miami on August 30th, 2019. The wiry, basset-faced musician was a jazz-schooled player who came to the Stones through London's trad scene in the early 1960s. He remained a constant with the Stones on records and on stage for more than 50 years. He provided nimble, energetic support on the band's long run of Dirty Blues and R&B-based hits of the early and mid-1960s. Raised in Wembley, England, he gravitated as a youth to the music of early jazz pianist Jelly Roll Morton and bop saxophonist Charlie Parker. "My parents bought me one of those first drum kits every drummer knows too well." He emblazoned the bass drum head of his early kit with the name Chico, after saxophonist Jerry Mulligan's drummer Chico Hamilton. In his teens, he worked in various regional jazz groups. In 1961, he illustrated and wrote a fanciful tribute to Charlie Parker. It was subsequently published in 1964 as Ode to a High-Flying Bird. He maintained a love of jazz throughout his life and, from the 80s on, would record regularly with various ad hoc lineups of his Charlie Watts Quintet. Watts later admitted, "It was from Brian, Mick, and Keith that I first seriously learned about R&B. The blues, to me, was Charlie Parker." Watts increasingly recorded and toured on his own as a jazz band leader. He cut a big band album for Columbia in 1986 and 4 sets with his own quintet from 91 to 96. He stood out on the Stones' first U.S. number one, I Can't Get No Satisfaction, 1965, and on later day exotica like Paint It Black and Ruby Tuesday. He came into his own with Jumping Jack Flash, 1968, and Honky Tonk Women, 1969. Watts was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the Rolling Stones in 1989.
Turn on the radio, listen to the AM whine. 1200 kilohertz of It's Hard to Say Goodbye. And the last great hopeless romantic steps to the blackboard and explains love with quantum mechanics. There's a problem of balance and grace in a world spinning madly off in a time and space. Stand still one moment, you're bound to lose your place. And everything that mattered will be out of date and scattered.
Rich Kruger's The Uncertainty Principle, after Heisenberg, introduces our music research and technology piece about mixing medicine and music. Neonatologist and neuroscientist Dr. Rich Kruger discussed on the August 22, 2021 episode of the CBS TV show Sunday Morning how the pandemic has affected not just his medical practice, which is dedicated to the highest risk babies out there, but also his greatest means of adjustment, his music.
Running through an idiot's head. You get a bit too serious and your face turns red. But at least for this one moment, there's nothing left to be said.
On February the 11th of this year, Dr. Kruger also appeared in an episode of the Amazon.com podcast, We're Dying Here, which is based on the definitions of death. Kruger discussed his work with infants in neonatal intensive care units and how he makes time for a music career. Grile Marcus of Rolling Stone writes of Kruger's music, I can't remember the last time I said yes to a song out loud in the first 3 seconds. In the instant when I realized that Kruger was something different, I also felt as if I'd been listening to this song half of my life. Kruger catches the feel, the cadence of ordinary talk as he jumps the waves in the sound. He's rushing inside music that never hurries, as if for him time's running out. But the music knows the place never closes. You believe him. You want to be there. He sounds like he's been all around the world without ever leaving home. Additional reviews include this from Tony Ives of AmericanaMusicShow.com. Staggering yet often surreal stories. Articulate lyrics coupled to heavyweight tunes make this a joy. The new Randy Newman? And this from Greg Kotis, the author of Urinetown, the musical. Rich Kruger is a great storyteller. His songs shine a vivid, biting, surprising, sometimes hilarious, and always insightful light on the misery and beauty of being alive. I've been a fan of Rich since sharing a stage with him at Jimmy's Woodlawn Tap in the late 1980s in Chicago. George Harrison's My Sweet Lord, from his All Things Must Pass album, introduces our rock music news. It's entitled 50th Anniversary of All Things Must Pass, George Harrison, by Mark Kennedy, Associated Press. New York, George Harrison's landmark album, All Things Must Pass, is celebrating its belated 50th anniversary, and the former Beatles son thinks a new remix collection might make the perfect post-pandemic soundtrack. I think that the message of this record is more ready to be received now than it was when it first came out, says Donnie Harrison. The message is clear, and now it's sonically clear. This is a really important bit of music. The original collection was audacious for its time. The first triple studio album in rock and roll history. A virtual flurry of vinyl. The anniversary editions out this week make that look quaint. Containing 8 LPs, or 5 CDs, plus a Blu-ray audio disc with the remixed album. Rolling Stone lists the music among the 500 greatest albums of all time. The original 23-track album completed with hits like Isn't It a Pity, What Is Life, and My Sweet Lord has been remixed for the anniversary editions. Florida Georgia Line's It's Just What We Do introduces our local music news. Amid the flurry of festivals and venues announcing their new vaccination policies, some bands have had to cancel recent Raleigh shows as well. Country band Florida Georgia Line, which was set to visit Raleigh October 21 and Charlotte October 22, said on August 20th that it was canceling its fall tour due to the rising COVID cases and risk of putting our family, band, and crew, friends, and fans in harm's way. And as reported by A.V. Bypage in 8/20/21 issue of the News and Observer, the upcoming Hopscotch Music Festival, a multi-day, multi-genre music festival that has drawn more than 120 bands and thousands of music fans to downtown Raleigh since 2010, will require attendees to show proof of full vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test. A photo ID is also required. This year's festival is scheduled to run from September 9 through 11 at entirely outdoor stages in downtown Raleigh. This announcement makes it the latest festival or event in Raleigh to show vaccination or negative test results. Live Nation Entertainment, Walnut Creek and the Ritz venues, and the IBMA's World of Bluegrass Festival have also recently announced these health restrictions for their fall 2021 events in Raleigh. It's just what we do. And so, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, what was the musical instrument for which Tchaikovsky originally wrote Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies, which appeared in his The Nutcracker? And I gave as a hint that historians attributed lead in the instrument as the probable cause of symptoms musicians complained about after playing this instrument. So, was that A, the French horn, B, the harmonica, C, the harp, or D, the cymbal? Correct answer, answer B, the harmonica. That's spelled, by the way, as A-R-M-O-N-I-C-A. As noted in Uncle Jan's Bathroom Reader Plunges into Music, in addition to inventing bifocals, the library system, and signing the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin invented the glass harmonica in 1761. He said, "Of all of my inventions, the harmonica has given me the greatest personal satisfaction." Franklin's inspiration for the instrument came while he watched a concert being played with musical glasses. Knowing he could improve the sound quality and make the glasses easier to use, he decided to create a new instrument. With the help of a glass blower, Franklin placed 37 glass bowls in 23 different sizes horizontally along a spindle that was rotated using a foot treadle. He painted the disc different colors to identify notes, and by wetting his fingers and touching the rims, Franklin could create bell-like sounds. When Franklin introduced the new instrument to Europe, he served as a diplomat to France during the American Revolution, it was enthusiastically received. Marie Antoinette took lessons. Beethoven and Mozart wrote music for it. Even Tchaikovsky's Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy in The Nutcracker was originally written for the harmonica. But unfounded rumors and superstitions in the 1830s brought a swift and sudden end to the harmonica's popularity. People reported mental illness, nervous disorders, and losing the feelings in their hands after playing it. Some historians attribute these ailments to lead poisoning from the glass. The instrument disappeared from public view until the 1980s, when a Massachusetts manufacturer began offering custom designs of the glass quartz, no lead, harmonica for about $7,000. And the answer to our second question, the name of the record label the Beatles established. Answer, Apple. Apple Records. So let's close out today's program with one of those early Apple recording signings, Billy Preston singing, appropriately perhaps, Nothing from Nothing. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.